Racial justice to me is where everybody, no matter the race or ethnicity, has the same, has equity all around. So not only the same opportunities, but as someone, the same opportunities, the same help, everybody can work the same amount to get to where they need to go, instead of one race having to work twice as hard just to get half of what another race has got. Or, everybody basically treated like human beings, everybody being one human race instead of very much divided and treated as such.
Very, I agree, because that's the biggest thing is when we have groups being divided is when it starts to be more towards the racial injustice. What do you think is the most important aspects of racial justice today?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't think there is really any racial justice today. So I wouldn't know what the most important aspect is. I think if there was any racial justice, it would be equity. But I was like, you could even see from how minority students are treated at a PWI. Like myself, you're treated as less than, or maybe not as advanced, or maybe, you know what I mean? People don't take you as serious, or even what's going on in the Ukraine, that African people are not allowed to leave Ukraine before the white Ukrainians, you know what I mean? So it's like you can't say really there is any racial justice right now.
That's true, because I feel like we're still fighting for equality. Like, not much has changed, and we're definitely still in the more of the racial injustice phase.
Yeah,
Next.
oops, sorry. I was gonna say, I would just say it's more everything is still there. Everything is just fake concealed. So everybody pretends to be like, oh, I'm all inclusive and I'm all this and I'm all that. But you say your different actions are very different.
Definitely, I feel like they are trying to hide it with making it seem like, oh, we're in a new generation, like you guys, there's no more racism. And a lot of people think racism is non-existent anymore, but that's the biggest problem, is that racism is still a factor today. Next question is, how have you worked to advance racial justice? Like, have you done any like political work or like school activities, jobs, anything?
Well, I wouldn't say I've done any political work or maybe host anything at a school. However, my freshman year at SPU, I did go through something, as you would know, where we were just getting racially discriminated against, and it was we spoke up for probably more of the students who of the minority students who were feeling the same way. And we talked to everybody from the housing directors to the try to reach out to the dean. We try to reach out to a whole bunch of people, even though we got ran in circles by the end of it. We tried to speak out to people. We tried to speak out, even to the paper. I think we did try to do that. We had Zoom meetings for the whole first 2 quarters of our freshman year, nonstop talking to different staff and stuff. Even though it fell on deaf ears, I felt like that was a good move towards kind of getting justice, if not for others, then at least for ourselves as Black people, as Muslim people, as people of color. Et cetera, et cetera. All the minorities wrapped into one,
Yeah, that was definitely recall the hassle of trying to communicate. Do you feel like even if you attempt to do something towards more racial justice and maybe not really a failed attempt, but you don't get the actions that you need, do you feel like it's still helpful in the way that you took that step to reach out or to find a solution?
Yes, because even though it fell on majority of deaf ears, there has to be someone or something, someone or somewhere that it reached. And if not now, you know, everything's on file, everything's on record. They can't say that they don't have a history of this happening. So if it happens to the next person, they can see, like, yo, this is a history, like, repeating itself. This is a history with the school, and they can figure out ways to fix it if we, even though we didn't necessarily get to, you know, and maybe, like, let's say new staff comes in or anything like that, and they see, like, what's going on, or they hear, like, what happened, then maybe it can spark a little bit of change. Because speaking up, even if it falls on deaf ears, does something, then not saying nothing at all.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like doing anything is better than nothing, especially as, like, Black people or just people of color. If we're not speaking up, it's very hard for white people or just a different group to speak up for you. And so you kind of just gotta speak up for yourself, even if it's an email or just anything. And kind of adding on to, like, what you went through or a different incident, like, what were the most significant challenges that you faced trying to help advance racial justice?
Some of the challenges, like I said, is just, like, being given the runaround, you know, as far as trying to fix it. They send you to 20,000 different people and you're saying the same thing over and over and over, and it's mentally exhausting, but they don't feel that way because they're just trying to make you feel like you're doing something, but nothing's really getting done. It's also the same, like, I remember my freshman year, someone tried to break into my room. When I was in there, somebody tried to break into my room. I called security. They didn't really take me serious, and they asked me, basically, do I know any, like, drug dealers or, like, anybody who could want to, like, break into my room? Or, like, do I know any bad people? That was the first question they asked me. And then when I said no, they said, okay, well, maybe it's a prank. Then a few months down, like, a few weeks down the line, when a lot of people that were not of color, my white counterparts, were getting their stuff broken into, that's when they started looking at the cameras and, you know, upping security. And that's when they found out that people who were, like, living on the streets, they were coming in, they were breaking into the dorms, they were stealing people's belongings. But when I said it wasn't an issue, like, when my safety was involved, they didn't take me serious. But let someone like my white counterpart, you know, there it was life-threatening, it was like lockdown 101. And so I feel like, yeah, you know, it's like, you won't be heard, your mental, like, you know, just mental health is on the line. And also, like, even your, like, your safety, your physical safety is on the line as well. And it's like, you also, in the fight for racial justice, if you are very few that is fighting for it or, like, experiencing it, people won't take your experience seriously, or you feel, like, ostracized. Because people feel like, how can you say that? We're such in a progressive state right now, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, racism is very much real. It never went away. And I wouldn't say it died down either. I feel like it was just concealed under a whole bunch of fake woke and fake progressiveness. Because how can you say we're so progressive, but in the same sentence, you know, Black people are getting killed every day and justice is not being served, you know what I mean? And then when we fight for these type of things, like a Black person being killed by the cops, the person that's brought up is Black on Black crime, but when crime happens in general, we don't say, oh, white on white crime, like, you know what I mean? You bring up other things that are relevant. And I just feel like everything when it comes to racial injustice or racial justice, when you try to fight for it, everybody has a rebuttal and they listen to respond and not listen to listen to comprehend. And I feel like that's the hardest part, because feeling like you're doing stuff and you have nothing to show for it.
To add on to that is basically like being taken more serious, especially when you mentioned that one of the first thing they had asked you was like, do you know any drug dealers or do you know any bad people? And I feel like a big part of that being one of their first question is because you're Black. As we all know, like, Black people are very associated with criminals and drug dealers, and I think one of their biggest worries is that because you're a Black person or a person of color, you're associated with some sort of drug dealing or criminal activity. And that's very, like, stereotypical and a bad way because, like, at the end of the day, your biggest concern is that, someone is trying to break into your dorm, and rather than trying to help you or find the solution, they're more focused on, like, oh, is it like trying to find the problem relating to your skin color? But I definitely agree with everything you said. Not because I'm also a Black person, I kind of dealt with the same things, but I feel like if I was actually like in the outside world, like if I wasn't Black and I see everything that's going on, it's very like clear to see that like racism isn't over. And like adding on to how racism isn't over is that the fact that people think it's over when you tell them, oh, like, how like when we tried to explain to all the staff members our freshman year that, we're being discriminated against or someone is being racist, they're so shocked and they're like, oh my God, like discrimination, like why is that happening? There's it's so hard for them to believe, and that's the problem, is that they don't want to believe it, but because they can't believe that it's actually happening, they can't help us, or they don't want to help us, or they're invalidating our feelings, and so
Right.
it is very problematic.
I feel like I feel like if it doesn't happen to you, you kind of have this notion of like, well, it's not my problem, or just because it doesn't happen to me, it doesn't exist. And I feel like that makes you part of the problem. If you can't understand that why it doesn't happen to you and your privilege is equates to that, and that not everybody has the same opportunities as you. If you can't acknowledge that, then you're a part of the problem because they feel like you said, discrimination. What are you talking about? That doesn't happen here. That doesn't happen. I know it doesn't because that never happened to me. So now you're ignoring my very real, issue and my very real problem and sweeping it under the rug because it doesn't happen to the majority. And that makes you part of the problem.
And I feel like for us to kind of move forward a little bit, the biggest, like, I know people of color need to speak up, but I think the biggest group that feels or needs to have more of an obligation to speak up is people that are not people of color, white people. Because if they start speaking up, it's like racism is taught. So if this generation learns that to like calm down with racism or find solutions, their next generation of kids, they won't be taught to do that. But if white people themselves, if they're not fixing the problem, if they're not speaking up, if they're not telling their grandparents from ages ago to like, this is racist, or if they're not trying to do anything, then whatever we do, it's like we have to work 10 times as hard versus just having white people speak up and eliminate the problem.
Yeah, I think it's like, how people say the system is broken. I feel like it's just we need a whole new system altogether, whether that be like a legal system, just a social system in general, because I'm like, there's so many different like aspects of where Black people just, or people of color in general, they have to work twice as hard, or they have to speak up 10 times as loud. Where they have to do, above and beyond where their peers don't have to. Like even in the medical field, like even their pain, Black people's pain is calculated differently. Oh, we're gonna give them less medicine because of this. And I see nurses that will literally won't give you medicine because of the color of your skin, because oh, you might be an addict, but I'm in true pain. You know what I mean? So it's like there's so many different parts of the system where it's like, we can speak up all we want, but clearly you're not listening to me. So, I guess allyship is important. However, the
dangerousness about allyship is a lot of people do it just to, I don't know, fit in, I guess, because being progressive is like the new thing. But like, do you really truly care? Or are you just saying that for your image? You know what I mean? There's a lot of...
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, as I said, there's a lot of non-people of color who act as allies, but then they do more damage than good. Because you're trying to be an ally, but you don't even recognize the opportunities that you have that affects you. Or the opportunities that you might be taking away from somebody who, I don't know, like somebody who it's meant for and not for you. You know, so I feel like, I don't know, just the whole system in general, the system of allyship, the system of like the law, the system of like the social system, everything just needs to be changed because this system clearly isn't working and it's not about being broken. There's not minor fixes that we can do to it. It has to be rearranged in a whole.
That's very true because like the system has been the same ever since like slavery. And they're trying to fix, I don't think they're trying to fix it. I think they're just trying to accommodate to our feelings for the moment. Like when in 2020, when there's like protests, mm-hmm. I don't think anyone was trying to do anything to help. They were just trying to calm us down. They were just trying to get us to be quiet. They weren't really trying to have the system be fixed or do anything to the system because they think America is great or they want to make America great again. But America has really never been great, and that's what is hard for them to accept, is that they think they're trying to go back to when it was great, but that time it was slavery time. It was like Chinese people being like excluded. It was like Mexicans being deported. So when was it really great at any point?
Yeah, the, you know, people when they refer to these great times, most of the time they refer to, if I'm not mistaken, like the 1950s. Segregation was still very much a thing in the 1950s. Like the you know, civil rights movement wasn't until the 60s. So it's like, who was it great for? America wasn't built for you as a person, like a minority, as a person of color. It wasn't built for you. That's what I'm saying. The system, even if you try to make it great, there's nothing to make great. Not for us. And I was like, even when we do things that are great for us, it gets destroyed. Like, you know, we had a Black Wall Street that got destroyed. You know, when we did Black businesses and stuff, that got destroyed, diminished. You know what I mean? So it's like, who was it really great for? Who was America truly benefiting? And I feel like, and it's not just, you know, like I said, it wasn't just then, it's even now. Who is America really benefiting? Like, people are finding their way and making, like, you know, making their way for themselves, but it shouldn't be so hard to do just because of the color of my skin or my ethnicity. Why is it so hard for that? If I put in the work, then I should be doing just as well as the, you know, the next person.
Kind of like relating to that and adding on to it, like my next question would be like, what do you think your work, like what impacts do you think your work has done? Whether it's just reaching out to like the principals or just anything, how do you think that affects anyone around you or just any impacts it has had?
I think for the meantime, the only impacts it has is for myself because, you know, I can try to fight in a bigger scale. But the only thing I can do as of right now is just go day by day. Day by day, I'm barely trying to get by myself, like have my peers, like, you know, don't think that my answers are wrong just because of the color of my skin or just because I'm, you know what I mean? Like, look different or like teachers taking me seriously when I say things or, you know what I mean? Staff taking me seriously when I express concerns. I think that is the most impact I can have. But as of right now, even on a larger scale, you know, people do protests and people do, you know, people do protests, people do sit-ins, and people do marches, and people do all this stuff, and it's falling on deaf ears. So until people are ready to listen, what impact can you, like, really make? Because there's no way to make them listen that is, like, you know, I guess socially acceptable or, like, morally acceptable, because... Like, how else can I, like, how else can I force somebody to listen that is more morally, like, you know?
Not wanting to, basically.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? I would say, like, without using violence or without using things that morally would be looked down on. How else can I make somebody listen? If you're not ready to listen, what more can I do except retrench on for myself? You know, because we're making opportunities for ourselves. But then it's like, when you're ready to listen, I'm willing to talk. But if you guys are not ready to listen, then why put myself through all this strain when I could just do things for myself, I guess.
That's very true, because kind of like relating to what happened freshman year at SVU and all the racial discrimination, that's very, like, what's it called? A spot on point, just because we tried speaking to a lot of different staff members from, like, the dorm owners or the people that ran the dorm to different people, and no one really listened. No one wanted to, like, do it. No one really wanted to actually make a change or, like, listen to us or anything. Sorry. My next question would be, what do you think the future holds in terms of racial justice? Do you think we're making any progress?
I don't think we're making any progress, for real. I don't think we're making any progress. What the future holds, who knows? We could do a whole, you know, turnaround and things be all kumbaya. But as of right now, I clearly, like, I honestly don't know. I don't see big changes as far as, like, racial justice. Because what changes are really made on a, like, a widespread scale that's really benefiting us? Like, we could say we're making all these changes and, you know, like, oh, we have this in place and we have this program in place and but like I said, there's African people at the Ukraine border that's getting turned down because, oh, white Ukrainians get to go first when they're literally in the middle of getting bombed, like an active war. Like, does that sound like we're in progress to you? Like, there is no progress, because you can flash this and that in front of me, talk about equality and racial justice, but what's the justice in it? Even the people who are in jail for years on, like, nonviolent first offenses, how is that justice? And they're majority people of color. Like, as far as ratios go, you know, even the people who, you know, like, for instance, marijuana is legal in the state of Washington, but there's still people who are facing years in jail for marijuana charges, first time nonviolent offense. Like, and how is that justice? You know, how is, like, I don't get how any of this really equates to big justice. You can flaunt anything in front of you, but still, what is the meaning of, like, justice if we have a small victory here, but the war is still very much ongoing? You know what I mean? We have a victory here, but overall, we've been taking nothing but losses. So, yeah, I don't know what the future holds, but as far as progress, we're not doing so hot.
That's very true. And I feel like you would think after 2020 and the biggest protest in America, like, things would change, but I feel like everything has been the same. And to think that in the middle of a war, people are still finding ways to be racist, that literally says a lot. And I know racism isn't only in America, but like it's a lot in America. Like there's a lot of people of color, and a lot of like, it also kind of like, for example, being a person of color and being Muslim, like you got two different problems. Now you have to face, you know, being a Black person and also face, you know, the consequences for 9/11. Even though it has nothing to do with us, it's like every Black person has their own problems. Even though they're being racist to you as a Black person, it's like a Black woman would face a different problem than a Black man. Like men are very associated with like criminals. Women, they face a different type of racism. And so everyone has like their own stories, and it just shows that like there's so many ways to be racist and not a single way to kind of stop it. I agree with you. I'd hope to see it decrease. Like I really don't want future generations or just me in the future to have to deal with this, but based on what's going on in the world, what's going on in America, I don't really see much of a change anytime soon.
Yeah, even like what you were just talking about, it's the intersectionality of everything, you know. Being Black is one section, being a woman is another section, and being Muslim is another section. Everything's intersectionality, but all these problems come with it. If there was true equity and equality and justice within the world, then it shouldn't matter whether I'm Black, white, this, that, or man, woman, non-binary, trans, you know? Or like Christian, Muslim, I'm forgetting. I know what you mean. But you get the point. It shouldn't matter what I am as long as I'm, you know, morally I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to get the same opportunities everybody else, get the same type of, like, you know what I mean, get further in life just like everybody would hope, I would hope, would want, you know what I mean? So it's like, what does, that's what like intersectionality is, having to deal with all these different issues. And it's like issues that you can't even control. Like I can't control the color of my skin, I can't control my like my identity, I can't control what religion I'm in. Like it's like I could change religions, but why would I? If that's something that I'm happy with, then why would I change it? You know what I mean? That's something that I truly believe in. I can't control what I believe in. Like I really believe it. And I definitely can't control the color of my skin. I was born that way. I could change it if I wanted to. So it's like why give me the less, like, you know, why give me the short end of the stick of something that I can't change? Like, and then why does that also threaten people so much to want to treat me less than? I'm a human, just like you're a human, just like your kids are human, just like, you know what I mean, just like anybody else is human. So why does that change the way you view me or the way you look at me? Because what another person did don't got nothing to do with me. So it's like, why lump me up with, like, you know, why lump me up with these stereotypes, or lump me up with what you perceive as bad people just based off the color of my skin? You know, not every Black person's a criminal, not every Black person does this and do that and do drugs, and you know what I mean? So why lump me up just because of the color of my skin? Because just like there's Black criminals, there's white criminals, there's Hispanic criminals, there's Asian criminals, and vice versa. Like, you know, so I don't understand.
And I feel like skin color has become such a big problem that like being lighter is viewed as like more beauty, or like it's the beauty standard that I have even noticed some people of color, like mainly darker skin tone, like would even bleach their skin tones to appear lighter. And I feel like one thing they forget is that no matter how much you bleach your skin or what you do, you're still going to be a Black person. It doesn't give you white people privilege. The only people that have white people privilege is being white. And so it's just caused this like stigma that like being white or being lighter just means you are better than other people. And that's why white people think they have more power over Black people or over people of color, just because of the pigmentation in our skin. And that's the problem within itself.
Yeah, and I'm like, even these beliefs came from things like slavery and colonism and stuff, you know? They conquered wherever and thought, I'm better.